They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The bigger they come.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Reports out this morning say the government is about to unveil new rules for dealing with huge yet shaky financial institutions. A House committee could introduce a measure today that would give the government more power to take apart financial giants that get into trouble. Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite has our story.
Rescuing big banks and other financial firms was not something the government had in mind last year, but it felt it had to step in to save the financial system and the entire economy. The New York Times says under the new bill being introduced this week, it would be easier for the government to swoop in, take control of flailing financial institutions, and get rid of management. It would also make it easier for the government to wipe out shareholders and alter the terms of the company's loans. Under the current rules, the government can't act fast to solve problems at financial institutions that aren't banks. Under the new rules, that would change. Last week, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke said the government should have the power to dissolve troubled companies and said other measures were also needed to cut down on the likelihood that one company could create chaos throughout the system. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Over in Britain, a mass vaccination against the swine flu begins today. About 11 million people will get inoculated under the first phase of the program. The British government says it has enough vaccine. The fear is this flu could overwhelm the country's state-run health service. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Vaccine supplies may be plentiful and the virus may be proving much less lethal than feared, but there is a worrying trend and it could have a big impact on Britain's state-run health system. The number of new swine flu cases doubled here last week. The number of victims admitted into intensive care also shot up. Andrew Lansley is a Conservative Member of Parliament and opposition spokesman on health.
In Britain, we start from a position where we have relatively few intensive care beds compared to our population, compared to other countries, and those are already very hard-pressed.
The government says it will double the number of ICU beds to 4,000, but given current trends, there could be 5,000 swine flu victims needing specialised care in the coming months. The NHS could face its toughest winter, a potential embarrassment for some supporters of healthcare reform in the US. They've been pointing to the NHS as a model system. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And we'll begin with Europe as we do this morning's numbers. London's FTSE index is slightly higher this morning, and that goes for European markets in general. Wall Street was down modestly last week after Friday's dip. The Dow lost 109 points Friday, closed at 9,972. But Asian stocks were higher today. South Korea reported its fastest economic growth in 7 years, and stocks there gained 1%. Let's stay in Asia now. China's sovereign wealth fund has a $200 billion war chest. Now, late last year, most of that money was in cash. But Marketplace's Steve Henn reports China Investment Corp has gone on a buying binge.
CIC invested less than $5 billion outside of China last year. This year, it's spending more than that each month, and it's buying stakes in mines and energy companies all over the world.
China's a fairly resource-poor country.
Philip Levy's an economist at the American Enterprise Institute. He says China's leaders and business elite worry a lot about where their natural resources will come from 10 years from now.
I think there's a very limited degree of confidence that they'll just get whatever they need on open international markets. I think in many ways, when it comes to energy or commodities, they see security as having an ownership stake.
Buying commodities and the companies who produce them provides a measure of security if the dollar loses value. But John Frisby at the U.S.-China Business Council says China has its eye on more than just mines and oil companies.
Well, I think we should expect that over time China will start to invest in other ways.
Chinese firms are already making dishwashers in South Carolina and buying auto parts companies in the Midwest. I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. 7 million K-12 students are enrolled in school districts that use software from SunGard Public Sector. More information at sunguard.com. And by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. American Public Media presents Early Lessons, an American Radio Works documentary supported by the University of Virginia's Batten Institute. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
A special envoy from the UN Commission on Human Rights is touring the United States this week and next to review housing conditions here. This is the first time a UN fact-finding mission has come to this country. From Washington, John Dimsdale tells us what the UN is looking for.
As the UN's advocate for adequate housing, Raquel Rolnick is visiting seven U.S. cities, looking at foreclosure rates and the availability of low-income shelters. Usually, the UN examines countries like Romania or Cambodia, but Rolnick says the housing crisis in the U.S. bears closer scrutiny.
Because of the specific link between the financial crisis and the issue of housing, and especially housing for low-income people, a great interest raised to the situation of the United States.
Rolnick says the U.S. has plenty of good housing policies.
But indeed, I have received complaints on the demolition of public housing and the situation of the people that became homeless or live in a precarious situation.
She'll deliver a report on U.S. housing conditions in the spring before her next investigation in either Laos or Indonesia. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And finally, the all-important gross domestic product figures come out later this week. Until then, we'll have to do with the hairy crab indicator. Hairy crabs are a Hong Kong delicacy. They sell for up to $100. Last year, when the crash hit, sales tanked, pun intended. But the South China Morning Post reports hairy crab sales have returned to boomtime levels. So steam 20 minutes, cut open, flavor with vinegar, and toast the recovery. May it not wash back out to sea. This is Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.